You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor David Wendell, Assistant to the Bishop for Ministry and Ecumenism in the North American Lutheran Church. This is our sermon for the second Sunday after Pentecost from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. And the crowd came together again so that the disciples could not even eat. And when his friends heard it, they went out to seize Jesus, for they said, "He's beside himself." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he cast out the demons." And Jesus called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting about him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sure seems like we're living in a time of significant division and disunity within the United States of America today. Seems some politicians, some media, social media organizations are intent on furthering such tensions, even though they speak publicly about unity and peace, cooperation and compromise, to allow us to move forward as one. But their actions speak louder than their words. And in my lifetime, I don't remember such a time as this, with factions in our nation being so at odds, tensions arising in our major cities, and friends and neighbors not trusting and listening to and respecting one another. Most of us surely yearn for a return to some sense of calm and peace, and a desire to get along with one another in safety and security. And then we have a Sunday such as this Sunday, which is the second Sunday after Pentecost, when we have, without a doubt, a very challenging gospel text. When we're faced with Jesus' own words about a house divided, and his own family trying to restrain him and hold him back and bring him to his senses, so that it certainly causes us to think some about the body of Christ and how sometimes we too are divided. It causes us to ask Are there places where we as Christians won't compromise, even for the sake of unity and peace, even when we realize it may cause division and disunity? Our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 3 seems to be speaking to us today and to all Christians about who we are called to be and what it is that we are called to be about as people seeking not to do what's easy or comfortable or politically correct, but what will be faithful and bold as we strive to fight against, really to fight against, sin, death, and the devil. Not pleasing people, but doing the will of the Father God in heaven, as Jesus says. It seems to me what happened to Jesus has been happening to faithful, biblically grounded Christians these last few years. We see in our gospel lesson that Jesus is preaching, teaching, and healing, and getting such a response that crowds are following him everywhere. In verse 7 of chapter 3, Mark tells us that a great multitude from Galilee followed him, also from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan and from about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude hearing all that he did. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they should crush him. And then in verse 20 we read, "And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat." And is it any wonder then that hearing of all this, his family concerned for his well-being would go out to try to restrain him? For they said, as the Revised Standard Version has it, "He is beside himself." While the New Revised Standard Version translates it, "He's gone out of his mind." And isn't that the reaction of many in our world today when those of us seeking to be faithful and obedient are called to proclaim God's word of truth, when we affirm the authority of Holy Scripture, when we take a stand on behalf of biblical teaching with regard to sexuality, marriage, family, the sanctity of all human life? When we stand on the foundation of Scripture, creeds, and confession, there are those Christians and non-Christians, sometimes members of our own families, who will say, "They're beside themselves. They're out of their minds." Some might say, "Surely they're possessed by a spirit of division and prejudice and bigotry." Some have said that about us for 10 or 20 years now, and some continue to say that about us. But we're not compelled by an evil spirit. For how could we be standing firm on the truth of God's word if we were possessed by demons? How could we be in agreement with really 98% of world Christianity if we were doing not God's work but Satan's? How could we be so united with so many of our brothers and sisters in global South Christianity, for example, if we were serving not God but Satan? This is precisely the argument Jesus used to silence his critics. His family, who would have silenced him to keep him safe and quiet. Using Jesus' own words and imagery, the truth is, if they want to keep us quiet, first, they'll have to bind the strong man, Jesus Christ, and then maybe they could silence us. But as this is Jesus Christ church, as we are his body, they will never silence us or divide us, for this house is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we will never turn against God. We'll never just sit down and be quiet, ignoring false teaching and false believing. As Jesus warns us, we will not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, but we will only confess the Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? God and His truth and His word and His will. Our struggle in our world today has not been about our opinion versus their opinion, our way of doing things versus their way of doing things. This has been all about doing the will of the Father in heaven. This has all been about holding to the truth of God's will and way rather than adhering to human teachings, no matter how supposedly enlightened and inspired and woke. And we're certainly in good stead standing firm on the Word of God, since it was Dr. Martin Luther himself who stood fast against great odds, against Pope and bishops, against emperor and princes, saying, "Unless I am convinced by the text of the Bible, I cannot and I will not change my position. I will not recant," he said. "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Luther said, "No man can adequately realize what a terrible abomination man-made teachings are. In the church," Luther said, "none of this may be tolerated. God's word alone should rule there. For God says, in the church, I alone will be God, which cannot be unless I alone speak in the church." Luther said, "We are not at liberty to teach or believe one article of Scripture as true and another as false. For believe all of Scripture," Luther says, "or believe none of it." "For just so," Luther said, "as a ring is altogether worthless once it suffers a break or a crack, and if a bell is cracked at one spot, it no longer rings true and is quite worthless, so also God's word must remain whole and inviolate, or it no longer rings clear and true." Our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed the will of the Father. In spite of the reaction of his family and friends, despite the reaction and the rejection of religious leaders and teachers, he never softened or adapted his message to changing times or attitudes, but taught the same laws and commandments that had guided the people of God for thousands of years. Rather than loosen up the Ten Commandments, making them more palatable and easy to swallow, Jesus always tightened them, making them not just about actions, but intentions, so that even the sinful attitude of the heart or mind or eye was considered sin. And yes, because Jesus held steadfastly to the will and the word of God, he was persecuted and finally crucified. But that was not the end of it. That was not the end of God's Son, our Savior. That was not the end of God's Word in flesh and blood in Jesus. As St. Paul writes, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with him, so we do not lose heart." We know that though we have been persecuted and rejected, as our Lord was before us at times, as he was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, so we are being raised up as well. We do not lose heart because these slight momentary afflictions are preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, We have a building from God. A house not made with hands. A house eternal in the heavens. And this is why we as Christians stand fast and stand firm on God's word. This is why we seek to do the will of the Father as brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. This is why we say our conscience is captive to the word of God. Here we stand. It's because we want to do the will of the Father, God. It's because we want to be fruitful followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. It's because we want all in our local communities, in our nation, in North America, and around the world to know Jesus Christ and the abundant life and joy that comes from life in Christ, which finally will bring all people to unity, to harmony, to love, justice, peace, and mercy. So do not lose heart, and do not falter or fail, or be distracted or dismayed. So keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and his mission and ministry, and always to him alone be all glory and honor in the church and in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.